Today she is in Sefer Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet, and we will begin Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel on the base, the bottom line. The Gemara quotes what we learned in the Mishnah of Amaloi Chutz Menematonis, Potem Menematonis. If a Kohen sold an animal to Yisrael, and when he sold the animal to Yisrael, he stipulated that the Zroi L'chaim V'keva, which are the Matnas Kuna, should remain the Kohen's, the halacha is then the Yisrael is not obligated to give the Zroi L'chaim V'keva, they actually remain the property of the Kohen. Ask the Gemara Ramini. We ask a question, a stira, from the following brises. From the following brises. The brise says that when a Kohen sold an animal to Yisrael, he stipulated, Amna Shematana Shali, that I should be able to get the Matnas Kuna. I should be able, I the Kohen, the seller, should get the Zroi L'chaim V'keva. Says the brise, the halacha is, Noisu L'chol Kohen Shirtza. Yisrael has a right to give those Matnas Kuna to any Kohen that he so wishes. And obviously, the stipulation that the Kohen made when he sold the animal is completely ignored. Answers the Gemara. Am Nasa Chutz Karamis? What's your question? Am Mishnah is speaking about a case where he said the word Chutz. So when he said the word Chutz, Shira represents that these portions of the animal, these parts of the animal, those Zroi L'chaim V'keva, are not included in the sale. Amanas, here he didn't exclude anything from the sale. Rather, he made a stipulation. Amanas, so when he made a stipulation, Lav Shiurahu, and therefore, as Rashi explains, that since that stipulation is an invalid stipulation, because the right to choose the Kohen who shall receive the Zroi L'chaim V'keva is the Tovus Hanoah, who belongs to the owner of the animal, and therefore the Yisrael chooses who to give the Zroi L'chaim V'keva, and he need not give it to the Kohen who sold him the animal. But all the Rishonim asked the obvious question. If the stipulation is not followed here, so that should invalidate the sale. Because didn't the Kohen say that I'm selling to you on the condition that I should get the Zroi L'chaim V'keva? And if, as the Gemara is teaching us, he will not get the Zroi L'chaim V'keva, that should nullify the sale. So Tosfos says that here the stipulation wasn't made in a way that if the stipulation, if the condition will not be met, the sale will be voided. And as the Mefarshim explain, it doesn't necessarily mean that Tosfos says, that Tosfos means that he so said, normally a condition, fulfillment of a condition is requirement for the sale to be valid, otherwise not. Here, when the Kohen made this condition, he recognized the fulfillment of this condition cannot and should not validate or invalidate the sale. Because, as the Chazmish explains, the Kohen will never know if the condition is met until only after the animal is slaughtered. Because only after Shechita is when there is a Chiyuv of Zroi L'chaim V'keva. And since it's only at that late point, after the slaughter, when the Kohen can know if the condition was met, he recognizes this condition shouldn't or should invalidate the sale. Another teretz, why Tosfos says why this condition is ignored, is because it's masna masa kosa b'toira. The Torah says that the Kohen that Yisrael chooses, he's trying to make a condition against what the Torah says, and masna masa kosa b'toira to know a bottle. Even though the Rishonim ask on that teretz, because this rule, the masna masa kosa b'toira to know a bottle, is not said by Dinei Mominus, and here we're talking about a financial situation. So they explain that even though this is certainly a financial issue, who should get this Zroi L'chaim V'keva, but since it emanates from a mitzvah, it emanates from the mitzvah of Matnas Kohuna, it's considered Master Masha Kosa B'Torah. The Ritva has two different ways of answering this question. The Ritva says that just like we find throughout Shas that there are certain rules attached to what type of a Tanai is considered a valid Tanai and what type of a Tanai is not considered a valid Tanai, this falls into the category of invalid conditions that are not halachically, that are not halachically valid. Another teretz that Ritva suggests is that because the Kohen made this Tanai, which he should have not made, that Chazal said we should ignore the Tanai. That means even though technically it is considered a valid Tanai, Chazal invalidated it. Ask the Gemara of Urminu, but there's another Braisa. The Braisa says, Amas Shmatana Shali, if a Kohen sells the Yisrael an animal, and he makes the stipulation that I should receive the Machas Kuna, the Loch is a Matana Shaloi. Answers the Gemara, Baha Pli. How do we reconcile these two Braises? That one Braisa seems to say that the condition is a valid condition that ought to be met, and the other Braisa says that it's not a condition that need be met. Mas Sofer, this Tana holds Amnash Yuruhu, that when somebody says Amnas, it's like he said Chutz. And when the Kohen said Chutz, we already learned in our Mishnah that that is considered a valid point. And therefore, he keeps the Zohar L'chaim V'keva. So this Tana holds that every time the word Amnas is used, it's like that. Because, as Mepharshim explained, he understands, as we just finished explaining, that a Tanai in such a circumstance is not a valid Tanai. So even though he used the words of a Tanai, he used the word Al-Manas, he didn't mean it. What he really meant was Chutz. That he meant that I'm not selling you in the first place the Zroel Chai Mekeva. Amas Sofer, but the Tana of the first price that we quoted, Amnas Yuruhu, the Amnas is considered, Amnas Lash Yuruhu, Amnas is considered a Tanai, and as we finished explaining, in this situation, a Tanai is not a valid Tanai. So the Mishnah taught us, Amri Mechav Bnei Me'al, that if somebody brought the entire innards of an animal by weight, let's say the example we always give, and it weighed 10 pounds, and he weighed out 10 pounds and paid according to that weight to the owner of the animal, and then to the butcher, and then he gave the kaiva to the kohen, and the kaiva, let's say, weighs 2 pounds, he has the right to deduct that amount from the butcher. So from the Mishnah, it seems that who is the one that's going to give the kaiva to the kohen? It's the Yisrael, the person who bought the kaiva, is going to give the kaiva to the kohen. And then he can have an issue with the butcher. Says the Gemara, and this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, Amar Rav, Lo Yishanu Sheshakal Atzman. This, that the Kohen has a claim only to the customer, is if the customer did the weighing out of the animal. Av Sheshakal Tavach, if the butcher is the one that actually weighed the animal, Hadirim Atavach. So as Rashi says, then the Kohen has the right to make his claim either to the butcher or to the person who bought the animal from the butcher, from either or. Ravasi disagrees, and he says, Afil shaka lo tabach, even if the butcher was involved in weighing out this animal, Hadid Imoy, his claim is strictly with the customer. Because Ravasi's opinion is we go to where the kaiva is. And since the kaiva is in the possession of the buyer, so only with him does the kohen have a right to have a claim. Rav holds that he has a right to go to the butcher, because since the butcher was also involved in giving the kaiva to the Yisrael versus giving the kaiva to the kohen, he has a right to have a claim with the butcher as well. Of course, the Chasam Sofer points out that this entire discussion of our Gemara is only when the Keva is still in existence. For as we learned earlier in our Perek, the opinion of Rav Chisda, that The Rav Chisda says that once the keva is no longer here, if it was eaten up, anyway, then the kohen has no claim, as we discussed extensively at the beginning of the parak. Suggests the Gemara that this machloikis of Rav and Rav Asi, to whom does the kohen have the claim? According to Rav Asi, strictly to the to the person who owns the animal. According to Rav, to either the butcher or to the Yisrael. Their argument is over something Rav Chisda taught us. Don Rav Chisda. Somebody stole something from owners, and the owners have not been miyash. Or ba'ach v'achle. And now someone else, not the robber, ate the item that was stolen. So says Rav Chisda, Rotsim is Zagaiva, the victim has a right to go to the robber for his claim. Rotsim is Zagaiva, if you want, he has a right to go to the individual who actually ate the thing. The ma is like Rav Chisda. It seems the Rav follows the opinion of Rav Chisda. And just like Rav Chisda says, you could go to either or, here too Rav will agree. You could go to the person who has the keva, or to the butcher who was involved. Umar, whereas Rav Asti, less like Rav Chisda, will not agree with Rav Chisda, and he will hold that you can't have a claim against two parties. You have a right to only claim against one. So in the case with the robber, if the item has already been consumed, he can only have a claim from the robber. And if it still exists, it can only have a claim towards the person who actually has the stolen item. And our Gemara is saying, where the keva exists in the property of the buyer, says Rav Asi, you could only claim to that individual and not to the butcher. That's how the Gemara suggests is what the machlokes of Rav and Rav Asi is about. Says the Marloi, the Kol Amos to Rav Chisda, it could be that in the case of Rav Chisda, everybody agrees with Rav Chisda. For Hocha, here is an entirely different issue at hand. For Hocha, Matas Kuna is Nigzolos Kemiflegi. The question is, how do we look at Matas Kuna? Masava Nigzolos, that they are also able to be stolen. That somebody who takes Matas Kuhuna is considered no different than a gazlan. And therefore, the halacha of Chisda stated regarding a gazlan will apply to Matas Kuhuna as well. Whereas Omar Sofer, Rav Asi's opinion is, ain't an exos, since they're not something that belongs to me, it's a special din of Meshuch and Gevoya, so it isn't considered if somebody takes it as an act of theft, and therefore you only have a right to claim it from the person who actually is holding the Matnas Kuhuna. There's a different version of this Gemara that has this as a separate, as an independent machloikis. The Rav's opinion is the Matnas Kuhuna and Nigzolos. The Matnas Kuhuna are considered like stolen items. Rav Asi Amar, whereas Rav Asi holds Matnas Kuhuna and Nigzolos, you can't treat Matnas Kuhuna that way. Says the Mishnah Geshen is Gayer. Obviously, a goy is not obligated in Matnas Kuhuna. Geshen is Gayer, and if a goy became a ger, for Hosla Parah, and he has an animal, Nishvata Ashlan is Gayer. Ashlan is Gayer, if the Shechita took place before the Gayer. So then, he's potter from Matnas Kuhuna. Mishnah's Gayer, if the Shechita took place after the Gayer, he's Chayiv and Matnas Kuhuna. Suffolk, and if there's a question, when did the Shechita take place? While he was a Goy, or while he was a Jew, potter, because the halacha is Hamotz Mechaveroi Olav Haraya. And as the Mefarshim explained, what the first two cases of the Mishnah don't really represent any Chiddush. Of course, if it happened when he was a goy, he's potter. And of course, if it happened when he's a Jew, he's chayiv. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? So I saw the Mefroshim explain that the Mishnah is coming to teach us the following. That even if the ger told the shoychet, please wait to shech the animal until I become a Jew, for I want to participate, and I want to give Matnas Kuhuna, but the shoychet ended up shechting it before he became a Jew, he will be potter from Matnas Kuhuna. And on the other hand,
even if the Geir gave the Shochet instructions to shech the animal before he becomes a Geir, so he should be exempt from Matnas Kumuna, and the Shochet did not follow his instructions, and he only shechted it after he became a Geir, he will be Chayiv Matnas Kumuna. And Safik, the Mishnah saying, is Potter. Says the Gemara, Pasar Avdimi Omar, Ramle Rish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Rish Lakish asked the following question to Rav Yochanan. Tanan, we just learned in our Mishnah, Safik, if there's a Safik, if there's a Chiv Matnas Kumuna or not, he's Potter. Alma, so it's obvious that the Mishnah holds, Sveika, that when we have a Safik, we go Lakul. Vraminu, but ask the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah Masech to pay him. So as we've been learning, from every field, one must leave over Matnas Aniyim, Leket, Shecha, Upeya. And here the Mishnah discusses a situation where we find grain in an ant hole, a hole made by ants. And we don't know how to determine what is that grain. Is it Leket, that was left over in the field, Leket that fell in the field, that the ants now pull to their hole, and therefore belongs to Aniyim, or is it not? So the Mishnah passes as follows. Chara and the Molim Shavutach HaKama. If there are ant holes found in the field, if it's in the standing crop, this is the way Rashi explains, Haresh Balabayim. If it's found in a part of the field which has not yet been cut, we could assume that these grain found here is from an area that hasn't yet been cut, and since it's from an area that hasn't been cut, there is no chiv that it isn't like it. Shlach HaKotzer, but if it's found in an area of the field that has already been cut, Hel Yoinim, the upper part, what's found at the opening of the ant hole, we have to assume comes from the Leket, Vatachdoinim, but what's deeper in the ant hole, we could assume belongs to the Balabais. That's what Rashi explains to Gemara. There are other Rishonim that have a different explanation. Their explanation is that it makes a difference how the grain looks. If it has a fresher look or it has an older look. If it has a fresher look, we need to be concerned that it's Matnas Aniyim, that it's Leket. Otherwise, we don't have to. Ramei Omer. Ramei takes even a stricter view. Hakol Aniyim, Shesafik Leket Leket. Whenever we have a Safik, we go L'chum. So the question, the obvious question the Gemara is explaining, is that here, Ramei takes the strong view, the strict view. Our Mishnah, which seemingly follows also the opinion of Rameyer, because we have a rule throughout Shas, Stam Mishnah Rameyer, takes the lenient view regarding the Safik. But actually, the Rishonim point out that even according to the Rabbanon, we have a question. Because the Rabbanon aren't absolutely always lenient. They say we have to determine what is the situation. But even the Rabbanon agreed that under certain circumstances we consider this Leket. Whereas in our Mishnah, the Mishnah takes a lenient view that it's always Safik and it's Potter. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, Altek Niteni, don't irritate me by asking me a question from that Mishnah. Shavaloshin Yochad Ani Shainar Yisai. I say that that Mishnah represents a Tana, not even of one Tana's understanding of Rameya. The Tanya, as we learned indeed in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra Omer Mishur Rameya, Safik Leket Leka, Safik Shecha Shecha, Safik Safik Peya Peya. So it's only Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra's interpretation of Rameya, that Mishnah, no one else. Omeloi, so Shlaka says to Rabbi Yochanan, Ah Tishna Yisrael Beloshim Ben Tadl. Even if you'll say that the Tana of that Mishnah is Ben Tadl, who was a known fool, it doesn't make a difference. If the Mishnah makes sense, we have a problem. For a time to come, and there is an explanation why the Mishnah paskins l'chumra. Because the Onur Shirkish, my Diksiv, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ani V'rosh Hatzdiku. The Pasuk says, Ani V'rosh Hatzdiku, that we have to treat Ani V'rosh properly the Din Torah. And as the Rishonim point out,
It can't be that the pasuk is coming to teach us that we should do a din Torah properly. Could that the Torah already says, v'dal tzavtus am mishpat tzedek? And furthermore, in this parak of Tehillim, the pasuk begins, shiftu dal v'yosem, that we always have to do a din Torah in an honest fashion. So what does the pasuk mean, hatzdiku? It can't mean, ilan v'bedinim, that we should favor the poor person in his din Torah. That can't be. We shouldn't favor even a poor person or any person in the Torah. Ella, the Torah is teaching us, tzadek mishulcha v'teilon. Go above and beyond the call, and even though you're not really obligated to give this because it's a suffix, you should do it anyway. I saw the Mefarshim explain, there's a famous Medrash. The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, b'shalu, each person should ask from his neighbor, Kli Chesed, Kli Zov. The Rashi quotes the famous Medrash, Shlo Yoyma Oysa Tzadik, that great Tzadik, Avraham Avinu, should not say, Bavodah Be'inu Oysam, Kiyam Behem. This that Hashem said that we will suffer in Golus was fulfilled. Golus Mitzrayim. Bach can yetz b'chush godl. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that we will leave with a great fortune like Kiyam Behem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't fulfill. So Mepharshim asked if HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to Avraham Avinu, why does he call him Oysoi Tzadik? Why doesn't he say Shlo Yoyma Avraham Avinu? So the Mepharshim answer, because what was Avraham Avinu's characteristic? Avraham Avinu's characteristic is the characteristic that we find in our Gemara, a characteristic of Tzadik Meshachar V'Tenloi. He went out of his way l'fnim m'shur sadin. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here we have Avraham Avinu, who acted in this fashion of Tzadik Meshachar V'Tenloi. He went out of his way to be nice to people. How could I not act accordingly with his son, with his children? And Mepharshim go on to say, that pshat, what we say in our tefillos, l'cha Hashem hatzdaka v'lanu boshes haponim. We say to Hashem Yisbarach, l'cha Hashem hatzdaka, you have the characteristic, as Al Gemara says, tzadeik mishulcha v'tenloi. You go out of your way to treat us favorably. L'lanu boshes haponim, how could we not be embarrassed then to do a veris and not act accordingly with you? So, we see from here that when we have a suffix on Matnas Aniyim, we give it, we go L'chumrah. So our question is, why in our Mishnah do we not go L'chumrah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, in our Mishnah, Hacha Par B'cheskes P'tur Kaimi. The Parah in our Mishnah was a Goy. And the Parah of a Goy, obviously, is not Chayim Matnas Kuhuna. And therefore, we keep it with the original chazaka. Kama becheskes chiyuv kaima, but here when we had a field owned by the Jew, it had a cheskes chiyuv, and since it had a cheskes chiyuv, we keep that cheskes chiyuv in place. And as the mefarshim explained, because there's fundamentally a problem with the question, with the words that the Gemara just gave. On one hand, it seems that the reason we're lenient in our Mishnah is because it has a cheskas p'tor. Were it not to have a cheskas p'tor, maybe we should be strict. On the other hand, it seems that the reason why the Mishnah Masechet Peah is machmer is because we have a cheskas chiyuv. So what is the overriding factor, the cheskas p'tor or the cheskas chiyuv? And the Achroidim debate this, although there is an opinion that Rav Shimon Shkop suggests the cheskes p'tor, cheskes chiyuv, is not a din in the animal or in the field, it's a din in the person. Here in our Mishnah, when we speak about a ger, so a person started off with a chazaka that he's a god, and a god is not chayiv. There we start off with a person who's a Jew is chayiv. But the Achroinim go on to explain
that Rish Lakish that's teaching us in our Gemara that Safek Leket is Chayiv is even in a case when there's a Roiv. Even when there's a Roiv to say that he shouldn't be Chayiv, the Torah, by teaching us Tzadek Mishalcha, the Tenloi, teaches us that it's Chayiv under all circumstances. Even a Roiv is not sufficient to exempt him from this obligation. But that Pasuk doesn't refer to a situation where we don't know if the field or the animal was ever Chayiv. And therefore, by the case of our Mishnah, in a case where it was certainly a Chayiv, and we just have a question, so there the Torah, by teaching us Tzadek Mishkov Tenloi, teaches us that we should always go L'chumra. But it doesn't teach us so, says Rav Baruch Tam in his Sforim, in a case where we don't know if there was a Chayiv in the first place. Amar Abaya asks Abaya Varei Isa. The halacha is that when we make a dough, we have to remove challah. And if challah is not removed, that dough is tevel. Somebody eats that dough, Schai Misa De Shemayim. And it says, Nasa Sachlin's guy. And here too we have a situation where it was made before the ger became. The question is, when was regarding a dough made by a ger? Where the halacha is, Nasa Sachlin's guy, if the dough was made before he became a ger, Potim and a challah. He's Potim and a challah. Mishnah's Geir, if he made it after he became a ger, he's Chayiv. And here it says, Sofik Chayiv. Why is it different than our Mishnah? Here we have the same Cheskas Ptor. Omle, Sofik Isur Lechumra, Sofik Memoina Lekula. Our Mishnah is referring to the situation of Mammon. Yisrael Chayim Vekeva, a Jew, a Yisrael is allowed to eat. He has to give it to the Kayim. So we have the operating principle of Amoitz Mechaveira Olav Haraya. Whereas Chalop, the dough, as we just said, until the chal is removed, is teva. So that's a question of isur. That's why we have to go l'chum. Damar Chizda. And the Gemara says we, in fact, find this concept based on Tanya of Chizda Torah. The Damar of Chizda came Tanya of Chia. Shmaya Sveikas Nemer Beger. There are 8 situations of a suffix by Ger. Arba l'chiv. In 4 situations we go l'chumra. Vava l'ptor. In 4 situations we go l'kula. The Torah Daisha teaches us that if, and again I have to emphasize that this is Midaraisa, that if a woman has a boy for 7 days she's Tamei no matter what, and then for 33 days she's Tar no matter what, and then she must bring a carbon. The carbon she has to bring is she has to bring a sheep for carbon oila and a bird as a chatas. By a girl everything doubles. If she was she's Tomei for 14 days and then Tor for 66 days and must bring a carbon. And here we have a situation where a woman had a baby and we're not sure if she was Megayer before she had the baby and she's Chayiv in these Kabbalahs, or if she was Megayer afterwards and she's not Chayiv in the Kabbalahs. Here the Halacha teaches us the Gemara is that she must bring the Kabbalahs. Why? Because we know the Halacha is that until this woman brings the kabbonis, she may not eat kachim. And therefore, if she is obligated to bring the carbon and she doesn't bring it, she'll not be able to eat kachim. So even though there's a suffix, we have to go l'chumra. It's also interesting to note that the Rishonim teach us that, as I said a second ago, one of the kabbonis that this woman brings is a chatas ha'oif. And as we just discussed in the previous year, a chatas ha'oif is not killed the same way a regular bird is killed. A regular bird is killed through shchita. A chatas ha'oif is killed through malika. And even though if we were to kill a bird that we wanted to eat with malika, we would not be allowed to eat that bird. That bird is an avela. Here, the Torah says when you're killing a bird as a carbon, you're allowed to, the kohanim are allowed to eat it, because that's the way a carbon, a bird should be killed. Here, the kohanim will not be allowed to eat that bird, because maybe she wasn't mechoyev in the carbon. And if she wasn't a mechoyev in the carbon, killing a bird through malika is an avela. The kohanim will not be allowed to eat that bird. The challah is a case that we just gave, where we don't know if this challah was made before or after the geiris. B'chor behemet tmeiyah. The Torah teaches us that if somebody has a firstborn donkey, tifta b'seh, he should redeem it with a sheep, v'lo sifta v'raftoi.
So here, where this animal, where this donkey was born, and we don't know if he was born before or after the Geirus, the halacha is they should redeem it on a seh. But here too, the Rishonim go on to say, we have to redeem it with a seh, because otherwise the halacha would be vim loy siftoi, if you don't do that pigeon, varafta, you have to kill it. But on the other hand, now that we redeem it on the sheep, we don't have to give that sheep to the Kohen. Hamayitz mechaver olav haraya, the Kohen has to prove that indeed he deserves it. Uvachar behemet tahira, the halacha is l'chiyuv, the halacha is that if a vachar behemet tahira is born without a mum, it has to be brought as a carbon. So here, again, this tahar was born, and we're not sure, was it born before the Geirus or after the Geirus? If it was born after the Geirus, it's a carbon, and you can't, of course, use it for private use outside of the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, if it was born before the Geirus, it would be a question of chula bazara, you bring something which is not a carbon. Here, what we'll have to do is wait until it becomes a balmum, and then it can be eaten. And then, reishis hageiv, we're going to learn in the next parak that the first wool belongs to the kohen, or hamatanos, the case that we just discussed, is royal chayim keva, pigeon haben, where is again a question about the pigeon haben, or pigeon petach hamor, the sheep that we just spoke about that he gets. In all these cases, leptor the realim. The Sam Sofer says la loch lemaisa, that since our Gemara has taught us that when we speak about matnas aniyim, the Torah teaches us that we should go lechumra. She says, if there's a situation where somebody donated to a cause, but he doesn't recall which tzedakah he donated to, or if somebody made a donation and he doesn't remember exactly how much he donated, he has to always go l'chumra. Because our Gemara is teaching us that when it comes to matnas aniyim, we have to go l'chumra. Another interesting question that I saw that the Pais can discuss is, let's say we have a bechor, somebody has a bechor born to them. And unfortunately this came up more frequently lately, where there are people that came from behind the Iron Curtain, where for so many years religion wasn't practiced. And the question is, this couple comes and they have a bechor. Is there a chiyuv, a pidyon haben? Because perhaps, as Al Gemara seems to say, that when we have a suffix, we're not mechuyvim pinyin haben. And here there's a suffix, if the father might be a kohen or a levi, or the mother might be the daughter of a kohen or a levi, when these situations, there's no chiyuv pinyin haben. So what do we do? So Pais can say that we still do a pinyin haben. Why? Because since most people are Yisraelim, they're not kohanim or levim, we follow the right, and there will be a chiyuv pinyin haben. When Ravin came, he reported Kama Kamaromele. He had a different version of this Gemara. His version of the Gemara was that in one place it seems to say that when we have the Kama of a Ger and we don't know when it was cut, we say it's Potter. In another place, and then we had a question that by Peah we see Rameah takes the more stringent opinion. And again, from there, the Gemara continues with the same shakulatari as we had. Says the Gemara, Levi Zar B'Kisha. Levi planted grain in the city of Kisha. V'loi have anim lish b'leket. And there were no anim there to take the leket. Also came to Rav Sheshes, who came to Rav Sheshes with a question. Amalei, the Pasuk says, V'oni l'ger tazov oisa. V'loi la'arim v'loi la'tfayim. There's no obligation to leave it for animals, for birds. If there's nobody to take it, you don't have to leave it. Machlokes Rishonim, what is done in a situation where we know there are no people that are going to come to matnas aniyim? Some Rishonim say that they have to be designated, but after they're designated, the owner of the field could take it himself. Whereas other Rishonim take the approach that they're not even designated in the first place. But this question, this machlokes has ramifications to a different situation. Let's say the person lives in a place where there are no aniyim, and therefore he did not designate matnas aniyim, and then aniyim come.
according to the opinions, that they were already designated, and then because there was nobody to take him, he took it himself. He won't have to separate Matnas Aniyim. But according to the opinions that he never designated Matnas Aniyim, he will now have to designate Matnas Aniyim to give to them. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Eivavim Truma, Loi Megarim Le'ir, Loi Memidu Le'ishuv. It is not the responsibility of the Yisrael to transport the Truma to the Kayin. However, Vim Einsham Kayin, if there is no Kayin, Sarcha Parim Aviyah, he should rent a donkey, he should rent a cow to carry it. And they have the Truma. So here we see if there are no Kohanim, you have the obligation to get it to them. Answer the Gemara is a very big difference. Shani Truma the Tavla. If Truma, you're not allowed to eat. And if Truma isn't removed, the grain remains Tevel. So that's why it has to be separated for the Kohen. And once it's separated, it should be transported and put into storage until a Kohen can come. Therefore, the separation must take place. Ask the Mavari Matanis, but when we speak about the Matas Kuna, the Loi Tavli, that there is no concept of Tevel by the Matas Kuna, the Tanya, yet the Brisa says as follows. Makam Shinagul Limloi, Baal Golem, Lo Yashida says Roya. Even though the halacha is that the skin that comes along, this is what Moshe Shem explained, that even though the halacha is that the skin that is on the Zroya does not belong to the Kohanim, if the minig in this place is that they just take off the hair and eat the skin with the Zroya, when you give the Kohen the Zroya, you have to give it to him with the skin. On the other hand, if the minig ha-mokim is to take off the skin from the head, still you have no right to take off that skin from the head when you're giving to the kohen. But yavshir es alechi, because when the Torah says the din of lechi, zroi lechayim v'keva, it says halachayim. The Torah is teaching us that that skin belongs to the kohen, and therefore the minig ha-mokim cannot override the obligation to give that to the kohen. Vim ancient kohen, continues the Braisa, if there is no kohen available, ma'alos medav v'ayfam, you should assess the value, eat them, from the hefser the kohen. But we see that we do have to designate it. Answers the Gemara, shani matas kuna, when the Torah speaks about matas kuna, the Torah uses the words masinik sevei, the Torah says, nosel kohen has roev alachayim v'keiva, and therefore the Torah means to give it to him under all situations. Says the Gemara, Hashta the Asus Rahaki. Now that we've already come to this point, Trumanami Nasina Ksive, the Torah uses the words Nasina by Truma, and therefore by Truma also, it is our obligation to make sure the Kohen gets it. Ask the Gemara by the Leket, the Torah says Tazi Yisera Lomali. What does that come to teach us? Lechitanya. Hamachkas Kaman. Somebody was mafkir his karim, his vineyard, and therefore since he was mafkir, he doesn't own it, and therefore he's obviously not obligated in the matnas kuhuna. Well, the shachar hishkim abatzroi, and in the morning he gets up and picks the fruit from that karim, chayav aparet ba'olos b'shichah peya, patur in the maisus. That fact that he reclaims ownership brings back to him the chiyav of matnas aniyim, but not the chiyav of maisa. But the Rishonim point out that that's only in a case that he took back ownership of the field. But if he didn't take back ownership of the field, he only took back ownership of the particular fruit, then he wouldn't be chayav on leket, shichah, and peyah. Says the Gemara, Hahu shakir adin adas lebei medrasha. There was a sack of money that was delivered to the Beis Medrash. Kadem Rav Ami v'zoch ben. Rav Ami would acquire all of it. Asked the Gemara, Veichi avehochi, how did Rav Ami act that way? You can't take it. Answers the Gemara. Rav Ami was concerned that that money would be taken only by the people in the Beis HaMedrash. And he wanted that all poor people, should have a share in that money. So that's why he took it, to be able to distribute fairly. B'bari Seima, Adam Chashiv Shani. Rav Ami being the Adam Chashiv, when somebody delivers money to the shul, it's under the understanding that he will get all of that
money. Where do we see this concept? Because the pasuk says the Tanya by Kohen Gadol Mi'achav, she Gadol Mi'achav Benoy B'Chokma Ba'isha. The Kohen Gadol has to be greater in beauty, in wisdom, and in wealth. Achayim Raimrim, Menayashim Ein Loi, that if the Kohen Gadol doesn't have his own money, She'echav HaKahanim Megadol Lo'isai, that the other people should support him. Tamalaymer, Va'Kohen Gadol Mi'achav, Gadlei Mishalachav. So here too, when the money was delivered, it's with the understanding that all of that will be going to Rav Ami, and Rav Ami will distribute it as he sees fit. The B'nai Yisachar says a beautiful vart. He says that throughout Halacha, we find that the leader of Klal Yisrael is called the Parnes. Now, Parnes means that he gives Parnasa, that he supports others. And yet here we see that it wasn't the Kohen Gadol that supported others, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael. He was actually supported by them. So he explains that what the pasuk is teaching us is Gadleihu Mishalachev, the reason the other Kahanim should support the Kohen Gadol is because if the Kohen Gadol is supported, when he is wealthy, he is Mashpia Panasa on everyone else. And therefore, indeed, the leader is called the Parnes. Because of him, there's Panasa to everyone else. So we've been speaking in our entire perek about the Zroi L'chaim V'keva. The Mishnah now identifies what are these particular parts in the animal. Eza Zroya, and a perek Shalakuvat Kav Shalyad, from the bottom bone until the shoulder blade. That means, as we've been discussing, there are three joints in the animal. The two upper bones and the meat around them is the Zroya. Bushal Nazir, the Torah speaks about the Zroya that's given by the Nazir when he brings the Kevis for Shlomim, where we learned the Zroya B'Sheila, which is cooked and then weighed. This is, again, the same place. The Torah always speaks about giving to the Kohen the Shoyt. So the Mishnah teaches us that the Shoyt is not the same leg as the Zroya, but it's the same part of the leg as the in the shot and that leg as in the Zroya that the Kohen gets from Matas Kuna. Yehuda disagrees. He says the Shoyt in a Kerek Shalkuva at Soidach Shalrega. According to Yehuda, it's a much lower part, much less does he get. Ezu Lechi, when we speak about the Kohen receiving the Lechi, in a Kerek Shalechi, it talks about from the joint of the jaw, at Pika Shalgageris, until the opening of the trachea. Tarabon Hazroya. The Torah says, speaks about the Zroya. Ze Zroya Yamin. It means the right foreleg. At the Oima Ze Zroya Yamin. It means the right foreleg. Oyena Ela Zroya Smol. Maybe it means the left foreleg. Tamaloima Hazroya. Ask them on my Talmud. What is the fact that the Torah uses the words Hazroya? How does that show us the right foreleg? Answer the Gemara to Amma. Rava, like we learned earlier, we had a machlokes when we spoke about the Gid Anosha. Is the Gid Anosha only one or both? And it was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that the Gid Anosha is only one. And the question was it the right one or the left Gid? And the Gemara explained Hayyarek. When the Pasuk says Hayyarek, it means Hamimanesh Abiyarek, the right one. Hachinami, here too, when the Torah says Hazroya, it means Hamiyuman Shabazroya, the right leg. Valachayim, when the Torah adds the words adds the hay by the Lachayim, my also, what does it come to teach us? As we learned earlier in our shiur. Lahavit Semish Shabaroy Shakvasim, the wool on the head of the lambs, the Zar Shabazakan Ziyashim, the hair on the beard of the goats, that is included in the Matas Kuna. The Kevel my also, what does the Kevel come to teach us? Lachavi Chelov shall gave a keva. It's come to teach us that the chelov on top of the keva, the cholos of toich hakava, and the milk inside the keva are all given to the kohanim. There are rishonim that have a different. That's how Rashi explains. There are other rishonim that explain that the chalovin doesn't mean the milk inside the keva, because as we've learned earlier in our masechta, the milk inside the keva is perish. It's considered waste. And it means the fat inside the keva. And as the Aruch HaShulchan points out, that even though these fats may not be eaten. They're considered chaylev. They're still given to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim sell it and receive the proceeds. Which I saw the price can say is relevant b'zman hazeh. Because b'zman hazeh, it's illegal to eat the keva. It's considered unhealthy. But even though it's illegal to eat it, it's given to the Kohanim. The Kohanim, whatever they could get for it, that proceed belongs to them. The Dara of Yeshua, and Yeshua indeed explains this way, Kohanim Nogubai Nyafa, that even though this chaylev and milk belong to the Kohanim act generously with a snowball bottle, and they give it, they get let the owners keep it. So what do we see from here? Tamu the Nagu, only because there's such a minig, is Soda Halacha. Aloy Nagu, were they not to have such a minig, they could not, the owners would not be able to keep it. And as the Rishonim explained, since it's not explicit in the Torah that they belong to the Kohanim, that's why the Kohanim can act generously and let the owners keep it. Something that would be explicit in the Torah that goes to the owners, the Kohanim should not just let the owners keep it. Darsha Chamuris HaYomer, number of Pshatim Darsha Chamuris. One Pshat Darsha Chamuris is that people who explain difficult Pesukim in the Torah. Another Pshat Darsha Chamuris is Chamuris is like pearls. People who say beautiful explanations are like diamonds or pearls. Another Pshat Darsha Chamuris is we know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu always acts Mida Keneged Mida. And what they're trying to find is what is the Mida Keneged Mida in this royal Chaim V'Keva that are given to the Kohanim. So they explain, has royal Keneged Yad, the Zroi is the arm. The Kena Oimer, we remember the story by Pinchas, the Yikach Roimach B'Yodoi, that he took the spear in his hand to attack Kazbi Basur. L'chayim Keneged Tfilah, the Kena Oimer, the Yamed Pinchas, by Yifalo, the Davin, Keva Kamashmo, the Kena Oimer, Isha Kavosa, he stabbed her al Kavosa. Even though Mepharshim point out that it was that when the pasuk says that he stabbed the Beit Kavasa, it means the makam nakfus and the makam erva, and here we're giving the stomach, but it's a play on words. So I saw the Mepharshim explain. We all remember the Rashi says regarding Pinchas, bedinhu sheyitol scharay. Bedin, he deserves the schar. So the Mepharshim explained all other kahanim that get the zroy l'chayim v'keva. They get the Zroi L'chaim V'keva because it's a gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu designated for the Kohanim. But Pinchas, because of the actions that he did, as our Gemara now just described, B'dinu Sheitel Schari, he gets the Matnas Kuna by right, he earned them. The Tana Maestro Mahocha, the Tana brings a Raya. So how do we know just what's relevant to our Gemara is that Pinchas took the Roimach in his right hand. So if he took the Roimach in his right hand, that's the Raya, that the Zroya that the Kohen receives is the right Zroya. Tana Maisel Mahocha, that we know it's the right Zroya, because the Pasuk says regarding the Kohen Shlom Shoykim Yomin, only El Shoyk HaYomin, only by Shlom we know he gets the right Shoyk, Zroya Mekdosh Menayim, that the Kohen gets the right Zroya, Tamalayim Truma. The Torah says the word Truma, Zroya Chul Menayim, Tamalayim Titnu, that in all situations he gets. Zroya Mekdosh means the Zroya of the Nazir, Tamalayim Truma. Zroya Mechol Menayim, the Zroya of the Zroya L'chai V'keva, Tamalayim Titnu. Ezra Lechi, the Mishnah spoke about the Lechi. What is the Lechi? In a parak Shalechi, Atika Shal Gaderis. From the joint of the jaw to the opening of the trachea. V'tanya, asked the Gemara, Noit Lo Be Shvita Ima, that when the Kohen gets the Lechayim, he takes along the place where the shechita is done, but the place where the shechita is done is further down than the opening of the trachea. So why does the Mishnah say that he only gets till the opening of the trachea? Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Ha Rabbana, this Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbana. V'ha Rav Chanina Batignas, the Braisa follows the opinion of Chanina Batignas. The Tanya, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, Megremis, if you cut deeper into the trachea, Psula. He held that it's kosher. So according to Rav Chanina Matignas, that it's kosher, So that's why he goes along with the L'chaim. According to Rabbanan, that it's not kosher, it doesn't go along with the Chaim. Ibo Yisei Mahava Ha Rabbanan, both the Mishnah and the Braisa represent the opinion of Rabbanan. My Ima, what does it mean when it says the base of Shkita Ima? It means Ima with the Behema. It goes together with the animal, not with the jaw. And it remains by the Yisrael and does not go to the Chaim. Hanu Lach Azrael L'Chaim, Hanu Lach Azrael L'Chaim, Hanu Lach Azrael L'Chaim.